This is episode 222, recorded Friday, February 13th, 2015. Packard pokes at deconverted, deflowered, and deceased. I want to thank Talking Primate from the chat room for this week's show title.
What time is it? It's Packard pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining me tonight is Joe Unseen.
I am Groot.
And you said that before. I never said it.
Actually, I think you did say it one time.
Probably after you said it.
Yeah, it could be probably after I said it. Well, we got some interesting stories tonight. We have a new format we're doing tonight. I hope everybody enjoys it. So let's get on to our first topic for this evening. Over in Chapel Hill, three people were killed by Craig Stephen Hicks. He's age 46, and this is North Carolina. What makes this story relevant tonight is that it just happens to be that the people who were killed were Muslim. And the person who killed him happened to be an atheist in this instance. Or actually, in this instance, he's been more described as an anti-theist, actually. He hated religions across the board. And he was pro-gay and pro-choice. And his wife claims that he was, you know, all-inclusive. So he didn't care whose religion he bashed. But people are saying that this might have been a hate crime. The thing is, though, people get upset over all kinds of things. And in this instance, the way the police have described it, that this has been a disagreement over a parking spot. And some people will say, well, why would you do something like that? Why a parking spot? Well, the thing is, people get killed over so many different things. Just in the last year, there was several people have been killed just over a video game, for example. Back in January 2014, a 13-year-old boy allegedly killed his sleeping 16-year-old cousin after an argument over a video game system. So that's just a fucking video game. And that was just a parking spot. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, this is a horrible tragedy. And you and I talked about it years ago. Sometimes atheists in the online community, they'll try and hold this like moral high ground, like, well, it's only religious people who commit crimes and kill each other.
Yeah.
And we had this discussion, you know, we're all human. We're all prone to anger, and sometimes we're even prone to expressing that anger through violence. And it's only a matter of time before somebody who is very vocal about atheism committed some kind of horrible crime. Well, it's finally happened.
Yeah.
And the good thing about the atheist community online is that everybody's come out and condemned this.
Yes.
Richard Dawkins has condemned it. Sam Harris has come out against it. I believe Seth Andrews wrote something about it. I heard David Smalley in a Dogma Debate talk about it. And everybody is right there like, no, this was wrong.
Yes.
Like, you can't go shooting people over parking spots.
Right.
Like, that's just craziness.
Yeah. Mr. Deity, he came out and said, hey, I condemn this as well. If this was just over something else, you know, that's one thing. But if this was just because, if it was because of religion, then because he was an atheist or anti-theist, then, you know what, fuck him, basically is what he said. And I agree. If this is why if he did it because of a parking space, then I'm not saying it's justified, because it's not. It's
just not religiously motivated.
Right, it's just not religiously motivated.
But if he did it because they were Muslim, then that's bigotry.
Right.
He killed them out of hate.
Right.
It's okay to disagree with the idea of Islam. It's okay to disagree with any idea, any religion. But once you hate the people who believe in it just because they believe in it, that's discrimination.
Exactly. It's like if you and I had gone out and got into a bar fight. And he said, well, why did you get into a bar fight? Well, this guy happened to be wearing a crucifix on his chest, and that's the only reason why. I just wanted to punch him out.
And that's an absolutely absurd reason to get into a fight with somebody.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Or a parking spot or a video game or whatever. Those are all absurd as well. So we are definitely condemning him if this is the case that it was – if it was religiously motivated, and there's no indication thus so far that it was, then, dude, you took it too far.
I think it's important to point out that regardless of what his motivation was, whether it was religious, whether he just didn't like them because they were Muslim, or if it was just simply over a parking spot, either one, it doesn't matter which one, this guy is going away.
Yes.
He's going to sit in a jail cell and stare at a concrete wall for the rest of his life.
Yes.
Thinking about a parking spot.
Yeah.
Thinking about that day that changed his life forever.
Yeah. Well, he's got his own.
As an atheist, he likely understands that we all get one shot at this.
Yes.
And so he just threw away an entire life. I mean, all the pictures from his social media show him, like, riding quads and going to Disneyland with his wife and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was enjoying his life. And now, guess what? All of that's gone. He threw it all away because he had to fucking lose his cool and shoot a bunch of people in the head.
Yep.
That's just insane.
Yes, it is. Oh, absolutely, that's insane. And the thing was, and this is backed by the fact is that he would go around the complex and complaining about other cars being there before, and he was a general nuisance to the community. And after a while, the police said, yeah, if he calls, just don't fucking go out there anymore. They just would not deal with.
If he was
that
upset over the fucking parking lot, he should have moved out of there.
Absolutely.
There's other places you can live, dickhead.
Yeah, no shit. There was a quote here from his wife. He just believes that everyone is equal. One of the things I do know about him that he would often post on Facebook that he was for same-sex marriage and abortion and race. So he was, before this shooting, I mean, in those regards, he was rational about those things. But, you know, that's neither here nor there now that he's taken and pulled that trigger. And you and I were talking about that just before the show, especially when it comes to people with guns. I mean, the fact is people get a hold of guns and then you lose your temper. And it's just so easy to pull that out and you're thinking you're going to be justified. It's like, oh, yeah, well, take that. Boom.
Even without a gun, in the heat of a moment, in the heat of the moment, you can lose your cool and make a bad decision that will change the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
This guy clearly had some kind of anger management issue. If he was, you know, marching around a parking lot calling the cops repeatedly over parking spaces, he's the last person in the neighborhood that should have owned a gun.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, he should have recognized that in himself, just like, all right, I really have a hard time keeping it together. Maybe I shouldn't be a gun owner.
Oh, exactly, exactly.
Because I'm going to make a mistake one day.
Yeah. There was a quote here from the New York Times. It says his anger appeared to be aimed primarily at Christians. I get pissed off at Christians quite a bit, too. I mean, they some of them say some really stupid stuff, but I'm like, most of the times, the only person I'm hitting is myself with my hand going, nuclear facepalm. Like, why the fuck, you know? So that's why they haven't built a way that you can reach through and physically slap the other person at the other end.
Well, if you look at the majority of online atheism, the religious people that we get the most upset with are the fringe ones.
Yes.
The ones with the most extreme views who are actually trying to harm people with their views.
Yes.
Or who have harmed people with their views. You know, some parent harms their child by denying their child health care or a vaccine because of religious views, and the child got sick and died, and we get angry about that.
Yes.
That's different than hating them just because they're religious.
Right. Yeah. No, I tell people.
And it's also not the majority opinion. Like, the majority of religious people are just down the earth, regular, everybody you know. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's the fringe people that we kind of focus on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I forgot where I was going with that, but.
I'm sorry, I cut you off.
That's okay.
Anyway, you were going to explain to me why you hate Muslims.
Yes, that's why I hate Muslims. No, I'm just...
I'm just fucking with you. Sorry.
No, I mean, no, you're right. That we often go after the extreme ones. And, you know, we will have or try to have a discussion with someone that will, you know, be rational, at least have an open mind. And very difficult. Sometimes that's a little difficult because people get this thing in their head, and then that's the only want to do is just focus on that one thing. So
totally. Yeah. My favorite thing about online atheism is having discussions with believers.
Yeah.
Like, I unfortunately don't have a lot of time for it much anymore.
Yeah.
But that was, like, absolutely, like, my favorite thing. Like, engaging with them, talking to them, like, okay, why do you believe that? And what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And having discussions. And sometimes these discussions would go on for days, and it was just a beautiful thing, discussing ideas with other human beings.
Yes. And
I
religion...
never once thought, like, wow, this person's an asshole. I wish I could shoot them.
Yeah, that's never come across my mind either. But anyway, we got a new segment. It's from a fellow YouTuber. His name is The Deconverted Man, and we're going to play his clip right now.
If you had just one minute to be skeptical, what would you do? What would you say? How would you answer the questions? This is the 1 Minute Skeptic. Why don't you believe in God?
So why do I not believe in God? I would have to say that it first stems from my view of skepticism. Whenever any idea comes my way, I tend to try to falsify it. So when a Christian apologist presents to me an argument, I tend to see the errors relatively quickly. Even, at least every argument I've seen from a Christian apologist, even if I accept all of the premises, we still have yet to get to some sort of omnibenevolent, omnipresent being that gives a shit what people do with their genitals. Second would have to be my view of science in the use of these supportive premises. Now, science makes a lot of assumptions on its own, and it's not perfect, but so far, it's a very good way to provide evidence for premises, and currently there is no way to test the supernatural or even make any claims as to the existence of the supernatural.
This has been the 1 Minute Skeptic.
Okay, Joe, why don't you believe in God?
Does this have something to do with the clip we just listened to?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it is.
Oh, because I could barely hear it, but
oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Why don't I believe in God?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I just I'm like, I don't know why I don't. I do know. I don't see any reason to believe in God. I did when I was a child. My mom told me that there was a God, and one day a kid came into school and he said, "Hey guys, there's no Santa Claus. It's just our parents putting presents under the tree." And I was like, "No way!" And it made all sense to me. And I went home and I confirmed to my mom, and she confirmed it. And then a couple years later, another kid came into school and said, "Hey guys, there's no God. It's just a story our parents tell us, like Santa Claus." And it all made sense to me. I was like, "Ah, right on. Why didn't I see that before?" I went home, confronted my mom, and she was like, "Absolutely not. Don't you ever say that again." But ever since that moment as a child, I've like almost obsessively wondered about religion and why people believe it, and how come more people don't not believe it, and things like that, which is why I enjoy talking to believers, you know?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's one of my reasons. Well, the reason I don't believe in God, I just don't see any evidence for it. And I was a big religious guy at one point, and I started to look around, and I started, you know, actually studying the Bible more often, and I'm like, a lot of this stuff doesn't make sense. There's problems here, and I couldn't mm-hmm. resolve them. And reading the Bible just made it even worse. So
reading the Bible didn't reinforce your belief in God?
No, not even close. So
how to make an atheist? Read the Bible.
Read the Bible. Right. and the thing is, you know, it just the things that were going on, well, not just only my personal life, but things just like there's no way a God would that's, you know, was supposed to take care of everybody, that actually gave a shit about anybody, would let any of this shit happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was a little bit from emotional on that, but more I studied it, it's like, yeah, there's problems here. So it was a little bit of a mixture of emotional and intellectual on that. So, but anyway, all right.
When I was a young person, I got into reading the Bible after I had, you know, realized there was no God. I was like, all right, well, what's this Bible about? And I started actually reading it. And, you know, when you get into the stuff about, like, you know, God created the heavens and the earth and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
like, I did, I'll confess, I had, like, a little bit of a feeling, like, what if I'm wrong? What if there really is one? And I'm just, like, completely wrong about this. And then I got to the parts of the Bible where it talked about killing gay people and shit. And I was like, whoa, this is, no.
Yeah.
This is all written by people. This is bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, it just didn't make any sense to me. It's just like there's just too many questions that it's like, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. So if you would like to donate to the show, you can go to patreon.com/PackardPokeSat, and you can donate as little as a dollar once a month, and that's less than 33 cents a day. Actually, it's less than 3 cents a day for...
33 cents a day.
Sure, make it 33 cents a day. That's a few dollars.
$33. That's like what? $33 a month?
Yeah, that's $33 a month then. I don't know. It's less than 3 cents a day for a dollar. You know, I'm not asking a whole lot. Just to, you know, something to keep the lights on around here and the internet turned on and everything, which is, you know, that makes the show possible. Without the internet, I can't do a show. I really can't. So. But if you want to get in contact with us, we're going to give you that information right now.
Contact us by email at ppappodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter as @PackardPokeSat. Like us on facebook.com/PackardPokeSat. Call our Google Voice and leave a message at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727. And we will respond to it on the show. Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time, join us live at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokeSat. During the show, you can share your thoughts with us by calling 857-216-3200 using PIN number 35368 or on uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat. For links to the stories, visit our show page at PackardPokeSat.wordpress.com. You can help support the show by purchasing merchandise from cafepress.com/PackardPokeSat or make a donation to the show at patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. If you can't afford any money, why not share the show with your friends and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker, and on YouTube. For everyone that shares and rates us,
you kick ass.
All right, let's get on to our next subject here.
Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky.
Over in Arkansas, they have passed a religious beliefs protection bill, which is often known as RFRA, which is basically the Religious Freedoms Restoration Act, which they figured prominently in the Supreme Court's famous Hobby Lobby decision, allowing the private companies an exemption for the ACA's contraception coverage mandate for the employers. Now, the RFRA says that the federal government can't infringe upon people's practice of their religion unless there's a compelling state interest. In doing so, the Supreme Court has ruled that standards aren't applicable to state or local law. Bellinger told the committee today that 38 other states already have their own state-level RFRAs. What this boils down to here is they don't want to bake cakes for gay people. They want to use this as a protection to say, hey, I can use this to discriminate against you because you're gay. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, these kind of laws, they say they're to protect the rights of religious people, but really they're just legislating discrimination.
Yes.
In this case, they're legislating discrimination against homosexuals. And it's not so much, I don't think about like the cakes in this instance, it's a housing bill.
Yeah.
Like they want to give the Christian landlords the legal powers and the legal ability to say, okay, well, I think that tenant is gay and I don't approve of that, so he can't live here.
Right.
If the religious person was like, say, a member of the KKK, and they, they said, well, according to my religion, I don't like black people, so black people aren't allowed to live here. Like, that's against the law.
Right.
Yeah. You know, just substitute gay for any other protected group. And so what they're doing is they're just trying to legitimize their bigotry.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all this boils down to. They just want to be able to say, hey, you know, just because I don't like the way this person, you know, has sex or the way that the person they love does, then yeah, let's just kick them out.
I don't like the way this person was born.
Yeah, I don't like the way this person was born. If you were black, yeah, and you made that great statement right there. Or let's say they were Jewish, it's like, oh, I don't want any Jews in my community. So
right. Then exactly.
You can't live here because you're Jewish, because you wear a yarmulke, and they're like, oh, I find those offensive, so, and it's against my religion, so I'm going to use that as an excuse. Or you have a hard-on against them for whatever reason. And it says here, it says, yet he also acknowledged that the LGBT people may see this bill negatively. If I were in their shoes, I may feel the same way, because it's easy, if you're a person or group that's been victimized, to feel like you've still being victimized. Well, no shit, Sherlock. The gay community has been victimized by Christians. Well, not all Christians. A lot of Christians are inclusive on this. They won't say that, you know, they're against gay people. But the thing that brought that is that some of them say, well, I don't mind the sinner, but I do mind the sin. So I'm like, there's no sin, fucking thing is sin. So the fact is that you're trying to, you want to kick these gay people out just because they're having sex in a way that you don't like. The ick factor, as it were.
Right. I'm reminded of the story in John where Jesus said, you without sin cast the first stone. Would Jesus, if he was a landlord, discriminate against gay people or black people or Jewish people or whatever, you know?
Right.
Like, is that it? You know, what would Jesus do? You're a Christian landlord. You have an issue with some people. What would Jesus do?
Yeah. What would Jesus do? Oh, yeah. Some people would say, oh, he'd kick him out because, you know, he couldn't come back with his... And he's going to kick everybody out. They don't believe in him and whatever.
Now, realistically, what Jesus would do is he would rent the apartment to them. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they moved in, he would go in there and he would kick their tables over. And he would chase them around with palm fronds. And he'd be like, you know. I mean, that's what Jesus would do. If they had a fig tree, he might curse at it.
Right. Especially if it was out of season. You know.
Exactly. Damn you, fig tree!
Unless one of them was blind and then he'd spit in their faces, you know.
I created the universe, and I want fruit!
Oh, man. But, yeah, no, it's... They said here the Arkansas Constitution already protects religious freedoms and conscience rights, said Mike Mosley of the Municipal League. It said this would be a duplication and encourage new lawsuits. He noted that the Arkansas Civil Rights Act already gives individuals the ability to sue based on violation of the right to freedom of religion. So they're just – you've already got it, dude. You don't need another law on top of a law that's already giving you the goddamn rights for that to begin with. You're just trying to find a new way to make an excuse so you can kick out somebody that you don't like.
Yeah. I mean, and realistically, I mean, the argument could be made, like, if you were gay and you were looking for an apartment and you knew that your new potential landlord was a bigot that didn't like you, would you really want to live there? But at the same time, we're not supposed to face discrimination for how we were born when we go looking for places to live.
Yeah.
You know? It's that. So, you know, like, I certainly would want to have a good relationship with my landlord. And
absolutely.
If I was a landlord and I was looking for potential tenants, I would want the people who would be able to pay me on time.
Oh, yeah.
And that's... would take care of the place. Like, that would be the two most important things. Anything else, like the color of their skin or if I thought they happened to be gay, none of that would matter. The
right.
most important thing would be, can you pay me? And will you take care of the place?
Right, exactly.
Call me if the sink leaks.
Exactly. We had a couple...
like, this is a real easy agreement here.
Yeah, we had a couple quotes from the chat room here. Torvian said, without sin, cast the first stone was a later addition, which I believe because, you know, that there's so many additions that...
Who said that?
Torvian in the chat room, yeah.
Torvian, you're absolutely right. It's an interpolation. It wasn't in the earliest manuscripts of John. You're very good. Excellent
right.
point.
And Talking Primate said that Jesus was a squatter.
That's actually true. I mean, you never hear of Jesus like, hey, this is my house. No, he's always wandering around from place to place.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I just...
Sometimes he was living on a boat, you know? You don't know what's going on with this guy. He's like, come with me. Why?
Yeah, because I'm going places. I'm going places. I need people to come around here and, you know... get these people out of the house so I can, you know, take over for a little while and eat their food and go, oh.
It's like, check this out. Wherever I go, chicks come up and wash my feet.
That's right. Hey, check. Yeah. That's
the reason. Bible. I'm not making that up.
That, you know, that's the reason, really, the reason why those guys followed him around, because they're like, Jesus is getting his feet washed. Yeah, I could go for some of that Jesus feet washing too myself, you know.
Well, I mean, Jesus tried to wash somebody's feet and they got upset with him.
Yeah. So, anyway, Oh, and he of course, he did tell somebody to steal a donkey for him. And actually, there's in two different passages, one says take one donkey, and then in one another passage, he said he took two donkeys. So which is it, you know? So, but that's another. That's a.
Right, and he was crucified before the Passover. He was crucified on the Passover. He was crucified after the Passover.
Right, exactly. There's so many contradictions there, but we're not talking about the contradictions tonight. But anyway, we're going to get on to our next topic for this evening.
Bard, would you like to say grace?
Dear God, we pay for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing.
We have a guest. His name is Mr. Priestley.
That was a funny clip.
Thank you. We've got a question for Mr. Priestley. Dear Mr. Priestley, sometimes my wife goes to sleep way earlier in the day before I do, and this leaves me frustrated without any release. Can I initiate activities to satisfy my urges without asking her? Some people say this is rape. Signed, Horny in Utah. Well, dear Horny in Utah, well, God says in 1 Corinthians 7:4, the wife does not have authority over her husband, but yields to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. And in Ephesians 5:22-24, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as you do the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. As the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to the husbands in everything. So, yes, Mr. Horny Utah, you can fuck your wife if she is asleep and you do not need to ask her. Well, thank you, Mr. Priestley.
Joe, your thoughts? Yes, that's rape. Don't do that.
Yeah, I agree. Don't do that.
My goodness. You're going to have to include me on the memos whenever there's a new segment.
Well, I hope everybody gets to enjoy the new segments here. And if you like Mr. Priestley, let us know at ppapodcast@gmail.com, and we will bring him back on. I want to thank everybody for coming. This has been Packard Pokes At. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.